And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show here in Highland Radio. It's me, Greg Hughes, with you for the next 3 hours and what an awful lot we've got to squeeze in and hopefully keep you informed and entertained. Shortly after we have a run through what's coming up on the newspapers or in the newspapers, we have a tribute to Dinny McLaughlin. You would know him as a great storyteller, singer and a master fiddle player. And we've a number of guests in studio to reflect on Dinny's life and his amazing contribution and his legacy that will live on for ever, effectively. So that's coming up in the first hour. A little later on, we're going to be chatting to two of the stars that will be dancing on your tellies, two from Donegal, Danny O'Carroll and Mickey Jo Hart. They're going to be flying the Donegal flag. I presume Danny O'Carroll will be waving a Donegal flag at this stage. We look forward to having them on the programme a little later on. If you have any questions for them or about the process, get in touch with us, of course. That and so much more besides. So don't go anywhere. It's going to be a very visual show today, as it always is. So if it suits you, and if you're at home, say, for instance, you can watch us on your smart TV or your Fire Stick. We're on the YouTube app. Just type in Highland Radio Ireland. We're across Facebook on Highland Radio News, Sport and Obituaries and on the Highland Hub. And also you can watch us on X, streaming around the world on Elon Musk's platform. Right. Now, let's start with the Finn Valley Voice today. Their front page story is Christmas wishes from Ireland's oldest person, Ruby Druce, who's looking fine, healthy and hearty on the front of the paper today. She's Ireland's oldest person. She celebrated her 109th birthday on December 31st. That's when she celebrates her 109th birthday. She sends her warmest wishes for a very happy Christmas to the residents of Finn Valley, particularly those in Castlefin, whom she describes as very nice people. I never thought in all my years of living that I would live as long, she said. Well, you can find out more about her life and her memories and maybe even, you know, some tips and tricks in today's Finn Valley Voice. On to the Nationals now. And an interesting development, a major development in the Kyran Dernan disappearance investigation. He disappeared when he was 6. He would be 8 today. He is feared deceased. But a man found dead after he was arrested over the murder of Kyran left a note behind but did not say if he knew what had happened to the schoolboy. Anthony Maguire was found dead yesterday at a house in Drogheda, County Louth, that was the subject of a search operation by Gardaí investigating the schoolboy's suspected murder. Gardaí are treating Mr. Maguire's death as a personal tragedy and no foul play is suspected. A post-mortem examination will be carried out. Mr. Maguire was suspected of being involved with a decoy child who was presented as the missing schoolboy on two occasions. The 36-year-old was arrested last Thursday on suspicion of murder and later released without charge. It's understood he made no admission while in custody. A note was left, but it made nothing clear in relation to Kyran's suspected murder, a source said. The problem for investigators now is there was nothing in that note that gave any indication of where the boy is. On to the Irish Times now, and a bit of political activity today as a new camcorder will be elected, and the leaders of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have asked their TDs to support independent deputy Verona Murphy to be camcorder, despite their previous shock criticisms of controversial comments she made about asylum seekers. Taoiseach Simon Harris, Fine Gael leader and Tánais na Mícheál Martin, Fianna Fáil leader, both recommended that their parties back Miss Murphy in today's secret ballot. It's a secret ballot doll vote. The move means the Wexford TD is the clear favourite to assume the high-profile role. Now, of course, the incumbent wanted to stay on, so he was told effectively, we're going to be backing Verona Murphy. And presumably, given that she's an independent, is this part of a deal with independents? It's a funny old game, politics, isn't it? I mean, this is a role worth well in excess of €200,000. They're at the stage now where they're bartering, and this role effectively is going to an independent, presumably to bring the independents on board. And it just, I don't know, it's a wee bit auction politics feel to it, some might say. Well, the camcorder is the chair of the Dáil and is responsible for the orderly conduct of Dáil business. They have the casting vote in the event of a tie and are also returned automatically to the following Dáil. The regional group of independent TDs, which nominated Ms. Murphy, had asked both big parties to support her candidacy. So this really effectively means that the deal is locked in. Members of the group of independent TDs are widely seen as the likely source of numbers to ensure a potential Fianna Fáil coalition with Fine Gael, with Fine Gael, and to make sure that they all have a Dáil majority. But that's the kind of I'm not saying it's a financial incentive, but it's very hard to ignore close on a quarter of a million euro a year, isn't it? President Michael D. Higgins has weighed in on those escalating tensions between Ireland and Israel, and speaking in the Irish Daily Mail today and other papers, he said it's deep slander to accuse the Irish people of being anti-Semitic. Mr. Higgins stated that the accusations, which he said are in retaliation to Ireland's criticism of Benjamin Netanyahu's regime, would not change Ireland's stance on Israel's war on Hamas in Gaza. I think it's very important to express, as President of Ireland, to say that the Irish people are anti-Semitic. It's a deep slander, he said yesterday. It's interesting because RTE and their correspondent describes the war in the Middle East as just the war. You know what I mean? Whereas the president has chosen different language, which I think is slightly more representative of the situation. He says Israel's war on Hamas in Gaza. But it's just interesting that the state broadcaster, in inverted commas, refers to it just as a war. And it kind of puts me in mind of suggestions that maybe there needs to be a little bit of outside scrutiny to see how they sort of frame and propose things to their listening public, because it is really quite significant that Gazaans, but the people of Gaza, are not at war with Israel. But that's how it was stated on the national broadcaster, in inverted commas. But as I say, President Higgins describes it differently. He describes it as Ireland's stance on Israel's war on Hamas in Gaza. And it does seem, although after almost 50,000 deaths, it does seem that a ceasefire is imminent in that part of the world, because Israel and Hamas are thought to be just days away from settling on a ceasefire deal, which would temporarily end 14 months of bloody war in Gaza. That's how this paper is describing it as well. Again, at odds with how the president describes it. Intense hostage and prisoner swap talks are underway in Qatar, and Defence Minister Israel Katz says his country is closer than ever to another hostage deal. He claimed a main Hamas sticking point, Israeli troops securing the key Philadelphia and Netzarim corridors, would no longer block negotiations. Philadelphia is a route bordering Egypt, where Netzarim splits north and south Gaza. Hamas previously refused to agree a deal which included troops remaining there. But Katz was quoted as saying the Philadelphia and Netzarim corridors won't constitute an obstacle. Hamas is flexible on this issue. They understand that we aren't going to end the war. Okay, so that's an update there. Now, let's go to the Irish Daily Star, and the Burkes seem to be in court on a weekly basis. And Enoch Burke's father, he's been imprisoned for 2 months for attacking a female guard in the Court of Appeal after rejecting, again, that's framed a certain way. Maybe that's what he was found guilty of, but the evidence seemed to be that he didn't attack her, that he tossed her over, so to speak. But anyway, I'll read on. He's been sent to prison for 2 months. This after he rejected the chance of a suspended sentence yesterday. However, his daughter, Amy, was cleared of obstructing a male guard during the same incident. Sean Burke, who is in his 60s, denied assaulting Bridewell Garda Victoria Fisher in the Four Courts on March 7th last year, when his wife Martina was escorted from a hearing for shouting at judges. However, following a three-day district court appeals hearing, Judge Roland Munro convicted him yesterday. Judge Munro imposed a two-month sentence but would suspend it on condition the accused gave a commitment to keep the peace and be of good behaviour for 1 year. He refused to sign that bond and therefore was ordered to serve 2 months in prison. So the judge offered him a suspended sentence if he committed to keep the peace and be of good behaviour for a year. He rejected that and now is in prison for a couple of months. I presume, given the nature of the crime, he won't be in there very long. Just an update on the Holyhead situation. It is going to be next year before that route is reopened, which is problematic. More problematic for some people in different parts of Ireland than it might be for, say, for instance, if you travel north in Britain and came over in a ferry to Belfast and then over to Donegal. But it's going to be more problematic for people potentially in other parts of the country. But tens of thousands face Christmas travel misery as Holyhead Port yesterday confirmed it will remain closed until at least January 15th. Some 100,000 people had been planning to travel to Ireland for the festive season using the Holyhead to Dublin ferry. The Welsh port has been out of action since key infrastructure was damaged by Storm Dara earlier this month. And it's not like you can also automatically switch to a plane either. I presume those that choose to travel via ferry, it's because maybe the amount of people that are travelling, maybe they've got lots of goodies in their boot or whatever it might be, and it's probably not an easy transition just to say, right, we'll switch to the from a ferry to a plane because the plane tickets are already astronomical. OK, that was a run through some of the stories making the papers today. Anything in there, catch your ear, let us know. 086 60 25000. We'd be more than happy to hear your calls and comments. Or give us a call on 0749125000. The WhatsApp and text, in case I got jumbled there, is 086 60 25000. And emails coming into us at comments@highlandradio.com. We're going to be paying tribute to Dinny McLaughlin after we take this break. Stay where you are. And we've got three very special guests in studio with us this morning. I'll say good morning first to Tom Byrne. Tom, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Morning, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and I really appreciate you coming down at this time of the morning. Michael Carey, good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning to you.
Good to have you with us. And also we have Michael Gallina, or Gallinier on guitar?
Gallina, that's right.
Gallina, yeah. Okay, hey, Greg, lovely stuff. Cool. And we're all here, we've convened to reflect on the life of and pay tribute to the late, great Dinny McLaughlin. Tom, talk to me a little bit about Dinny and his influence on you.
Dinny was a great influence on me. I wouldn't have known him in my early days because I grew up in England. Michael, the two Michaels here, would know him better than me. But he was a great dancer and a fiddle teacher. And he taught lots of children. Michael Gallion would be better talking about him than me, actually.
Yeah, all right. Well, you're going to pay tribute with your squeezy box. Michael Gallion, talk to me about Dinny and your recollections of him. The type of person that he
was
as well.
Yeah, sure. God, he was a very generous man. You know, he was obviously a legend in terms of music and composing tunes and songs, and a teacher as well, and taught... so many musicians who went on to make music their living, and teachers as well down through the years. So now a legacy, loads of great stories about him that are, you know, he's been on TV, he's toured the world, there's books written about him. And there probably will be more books to be written about him, stories that we can't actually tell on the radio today. So that's all probably coming down the line at some stage.
Maybe we should have done it tonight, should we, rather than today. And also to Michael on guitar. Often when we sort of celebrate someone's life and their legacy, and this is what you guys are here for today, it's sort of maybe the first time it's happened. But Dinny had such an influence that, you know, he was honoured for his work and had, you know, whilst he was alive too, which I think is lovely,
yeah.
That he realised how important he was, how influential he was, and the legacy of his music.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people picked up on that, particularly his pupils who went on to teach. For example, the Inishowen Traditional Music Project put together, along with Martin Turish, a suite of music that was actually played to a full house in the National Concert Hall in January of last year. And Dinny came along and met President Higgins and was honoured in the National Concert Hall. And one of the suites of that piece of music called Inishowen is all of Dinny's tunes. So that in itself must have been an amazing celebration for him. And the fact that he'd been recognised like that in, you know, the Premier Hall in Dublin with the President in situ. So to celebrate that while he was alive was just amazing altogether. And Consequently, we had the launch of the DVD of that show on Sunday night past in the cinema in Buncrana, and that's out now for sale through the Inishowen Traditional Music Project. So that in itself was just an amazing celebration of his life and his works. Now, a very short celebration because there was only probably, I don't know, about 8 or 10 tunes of his, and that where he's composed hundreds of tunes and songs. And it's
how do you pick 8 out of those?
Oh, God, I know Martin Turish was the right man to do it because he knew his music inside out as well. So,
Michael Carey, your brief reflection, because then we'll hear some music and we can continue with our conversation then.
My introduction to Denny was I was there before the lads actually were on the scene. Denny used to teach Irish dancing in the back of the Excelsior Lounge in Buncrana, and I went to do the dancing because I was hen-toed, as we would call it. And Denny taught us and a group of other males, which was a big thing back then for men to do Irish dancing, and taught us dancing. But Denny would play a tune on the piano, give us the name of the tune, and then at the end of the dance class, give us a small competition and ask to see if anyone remembered the titles. I would always know the titles. He says, Michael, you have an ear for music, and you're to come to my first music class.
Wow.
So then Danny began to teach music.
So you weren't at that point playing instruments, were you?
No, I never played music at all. I didn't think I had any music within me. So I just went simply for dancing to cure my hen-toedness and to point my feet outwards, which, by the way, it has miraculously worked.
Danny has many cures, then?
That's one of the lesser stories. He's many more than that. Apart from being a genius, a composer, he was the dancer. I could spot people that had possible potential and got me into his music class, and I was one of his first bands with the O'Dowds, they were known at the time. We went into Slogu competitions everywhere. Slogu was a big thing in the secondary school competitions, from there to All-Irelands and the Flas every year, and then concerts, and then he played with Aileach Folk, and I played with him in Aileach Folk for a number of years. Then into Fir Ollu, and just everybody spawned
Shandrum,
different groups. They were
Isn't
the Shandrum
it remarkable
group?
That from fixing your hen's toes, right, that it's actually really changed your entire life.
Completely.
That interaction and the opportunities and what you've achieved. And
It's changed my personality, to be very honest, as well, because I was very an introvert person before then as well, but the music is now my personality. In fact, Denny's tunes, they're all his personality. They're full of fun. They're full of devilment. Yeah. Rascality, and the beauty that Denny had was that as a teacher, you were having so much fun in his class that you never realised you were learning.
It's not the best way to learn.
Well,
I don't know
those
you're
are
learning.
The skills that I took with me, because I've been lecturing in the college ATU for many years now, and I've taken those skills onwards, and he's taught me to be a better lecturer as well. So he's influenced me tremendously throughout my entire life.
Absolutely wonderful words. Right, Michael Gallinard, Tom Byrne, Michael Carey, should we play a bit of music? I'll leave it at your discretion what we do.
What are we going to play, Tom?
We'll play Planxty Fiddlesticks. This was one of Denny's compositions, and he loved playing it, and he played it. You can hear the personality of Denny coming out in this tune.
You can. It's a fun tune. A lot of fun. It's quirky.
Yeah, it's a bit of devilment in there, isn't there?
It's a beautiful
piece of music. Tom, you said that you got to know Dinny a little bit later in his life.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so talk to me about that, Dinny. When was that?
I moved over to Buncrana in about 1991.
Mm.
And I was there a couple of years, and then I met up with Dinny and Michael. And I met Michael first, actually, Michael Gallion. Mm-hmm. My brother was living in Buncrana at the time. And my brother's wife is French, and Michael's wife is French as well. So we got to know each other.
Yeah.
So there's a connection there, yeah. So we started playing together, and we had a little group called Shandrum. And we played all around the place. I think we were up here in Highland Radio one day as well.
We did indeed, yeah.
We played together, and he was an inspirational character, you know. But he was you never knew what he was going to do, and he was unpredictable.
Talk to me a bit more about that.
Well, I'm trying to think of something I could tell at this time.
He sounds like a character, no doubt about it.
There's a great book written about him by Les Doughty, and it's got all his stories in there and all his tunes.
And that's going back 20 years ago,
that's 20 years ago now.
2005.
Perfect days, yeah.
And it was called, by the way, in case any of you want to dig that book out, Dinny McLaughlin from Barefoot Days, A Life of Music, Song and Dancing in His Own. In terms of Michael Gallinat keeping tradition going, right, because it is so easy for music to be lost. Dinny had an interest too, didn't he, in the history of music and I suppose, making sure it was there for future generations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think his compositions, in many ways, you know, the cheekiness of his compositions, particularly the tune we played earlier on, would have been influenced by things that he came across in his daily life. But Dinny was also influenced by classical players. Mm. A lot of the tunes that he played would have had a classical influence, and those were brought out in the tunes that Martin played. Yeah. Dinny had a number of CDs, and one was called The Arc of Tides. And the Arc of Tide tune itself is like such a complicated piece of music for someone who was never trained in the classical genre. To put something like that together was just amazing altogether. So you know, he had many aspects to his music that really is borne out in the tunes that we play today, and that's just it's carried forward by the teachers that are out there. We all play his tunes in sessions, so we would meet every number of weeks. And in the middle of the tune, you play, you know, you might play three or four tunes in a set of reels or jigs or hornpipes or slow airs, and you can be sure that there'll be at least three or four of Dinny's tunes in the middle of it. And that's right up and down the country today. So it's an amazing legacy that he's left there.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. He's left his own legacy, but too, I understand he was a big collector of, music, particularly from Inishowen. As I say, that just means it keeps. I think there needs to be a bridge between generations with stuff, because I think once a bridge goes, and we do have a really vibrant young musical base in this county as well. What makes a good teacher, Michael Carey? Is it the fact that you don't realise you're teaching, but it requires a great deal of patience too, doesn't it? I mean, can you imagine? And I'm sure you guys can. You know, you're an expert musician yourself. You're an amazing composer, and someone's coming in and they're doing bum notes and all this kind of stuff, right? You have to be a special type of character, I think, to stick with them.
Yeah, he can turn. There's no such thing as a bad note in Dinny's class. He would turn around to a variation, and it became a part of the tune then, and the tune would change around whatever direction people want to take it. I think for Dinny, the skills that he had was that he would teach a tune basically, and then he would teach all instruments first of all, because he was a fiddle player.
Yeah.
But he could play piano, he could play
harp.
The harp, there we are.
Whistles
a lot. Yeah. So he brought us all in. In my first class, there was an accordion player, Teresa Doherty. There was another accordion player, Billy Farrelly, and myself on the whistle. We were the first phase before a later phase that Michael joined him in the later
Eamon
classes.
Eamon Coyle, Jimmy McKay,
big names
Pat
in
McDade.
Buncrana.
Yeah.
In fact, everybody in Buncrana was playing music. He got everybody into this new thing called Irish trad music, and he made it popular, very popular in Buncrana. And then they came his Aileach folk, and then that influenced. They were on TV, they were a massive band. In fact, I have a challenge for you people on the radio. Phil Coulter wrote them a very big hit called Lullaby, and it was banned at the time. It wasn't allowed to be played, but it's never been played since either. This great tune that Phil wrote for them, and it was a super tune that hasn't seen the light of day either. So I must try and find out if that can be brought back up again to earth. But he would bring the lads into the music classes as well. Brian on banjo, Curly Coyle banjo, Bernard Heaney the singer, Pat McCabe on the accordion. And the crack would be great in the class. Then he'd bring us to a pub and he'd make sure that all the young ones played their selections as well. Everybody got a chance to do their thing.
Murphy's Place
in Bunkrana. And the memories were just fabulous. We had a fun night. That was the night of the week for all of us young ones, you know.
I won't keep you much longer, but can we have another piece of music and then a chat?
Yeah,
all right. Who's going to take the lead on what we shall
do?
Play?
The slow air or the reels?
We'll do the reels. Why not?
We'll do a couple if you. We'll finish with one as well.
A couple more left, if you like.
Yeah. Exactly. Please, yeah.
So this is Ballymigan Fairies, followed
and Drowsy Maggie,
a tune that Denny played all the time called Drowsy Maggie. Yeah.
Denny composed the
first one. Yeah,
the Ballymigan Fairies.
That's
yeah.
right.
Okay.
That's just absolutely wonderful. Mairead Ní Mooney's with us. Good morning to you, Mairead.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
Thank you.
Lovely music there.
Oh, the lads are unbelievable. That's Michael Gallinar, Tom Byrne, Michael Carey, three gentlemen whose lives were influenced.
Oh, sure, I know them well.
And touched, for the listener's benefit, Mairead. You can say the same, can't you, in terms of your interactions with the late great... but I suppose in the first instance, and we have already, Mairead, there's a great deal of sadness amongst, obviously, his family and friends and the musical community and the wider community.
Oh, huge. I just couldn't believe it yesterday morning. You know, we always thought that he'd be always around. And when I heard that he passed away, I was very upset because he was such an influence. He used to come to... my family home, to my home, he knew my father. It was Father Jack Gallagher from Derry brought him first to our house, and there was a course in Gidore for Irish students from Carndonna. And we just had such a wonderful Easter. It was an Easter, and he just would encourage all the time. You know, we were very shy. We were very young and very shy. This is back in the 70s. And he just kept encouraging my brother and I and my young sister to just play and sing. Like we were playing, but he just made it more. He gave us every possible way to encourage us to make our music better, to sing out, to enjoy it. And he was very, very into the language as well, which was fantastic because he you know, it's lovely when a stranger comes into your house and says, what you have is very special. So he made us think of how special it was to have, you know, songs in Gaelic. And then my father was so pleased because he was able to get around us to play the music while my father wasn't able to entice us as well at all. But he was a great family friend, and he will be sorely missed.
In terms of his skill, Mairead, and the ability to compose and the style and the uniqueness, but the traditional element of it as well, how great a talent is that?
Oh, well, you know, Denny was kind of an innovator, because when he was playing, there weren't that many people playing publicly at that time in Donegal. There wasn't many sessions happening either. So it was... you know, he was a total innovator, and he was into precision, you know, precision and technicality, something that opened my eyes when I was young. You know, if you played a tune, or, you know, nobody would tell you how to hold a bow or how to play a roll or all these technical things. And then he kind of gave a key to people how to do that, you know, and focused in on young ones' talents. He was an amazing teacher. He just knew how to get around young people and their imagination and encourage them. And he was well before his time.
Mairead, thank you. Sorry, my condolences on the loss of your friend. And thank you so much for joining us to share your fond memories of the late, great Denny McLaughlin. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very
Take
much.
Care, Mairead,
and hello to the musicians there.
No problem. I'll pass that on. Thank you so very much indeed. A common theme with the messages, gentlemen, that are coming through is random interactions with Denny. Fun, crack. That's clearly then obviously very reflective of his personality. These are people that he didn't necessarily know, but they had encounters with him. And
well, where that was first spotted was that when he was playing with the Aileach folk. He had a set that he would dance and play the fiddle at the same time. And that was something that I don't think was ever seen or heard of before. And it was a big laugh on the stage and was a real novelty. And people got a massive kick out of that at all the big gigs that Aileach did. And he would have done it on TV, but he can't really do the two together. So everyone thought. But Denny was a rule breaker. And he would just break the rules, come up with new ideas, make it fun. And we just enjoyed the ride, and we had a fun life with him, and we'll miss him dearly, but we'll carry on his tradition in every opportunity that we get.
Well, it's in amazing hands, even just you three gentlemen and all the others that he's touched. Greg, have fond memories of Denny in Granny's house playing instruments, listening to the wonderful tributes to Denny McLaughlin. Well done, Michael, Carey and colleagues. Very interesting conversation from Kathleen. Condolences to Denny, my neighbour, from James Bradley in Shandrum. The Henry girls were on to us to say we are deeply saddened to hear of the passing of Denny McLaughlin, a true musical legend. His contributions to the tradition will never be forgotten here in Inishowen, and far beyond that, his legacy will continue to inspire generations to come, and we're so grateful for all he taught us over the years. Rest in peace, Denny. Not least you three, but you've got the Henry girls there, Mairead and her family. I mean, his story... and his influence intertwines amongst the very, very best musicians, not just here, but clearly further afield, Michael Gallina.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And as I say, his tunes are being played in sessions up and down the country, and I'm sure many, many musicians will be playing his tunes for years and years to come. You know, and Denny was really... wasn't just a musician and composer, he was an entertainer. Mm. And these entertainers, they're a bit like... when you would go to Leo Brennan's tavern. Leo was also an entertainer in that style of being able to not just sing and play, but to entertain people and tell them stories and tell them yarns. Denny was a great reciter. He could recite loads of recitations, make up songs, sing songs that people would like to hear. If it's people were here from Scotland, he would sing a Scottish song, or he'd play a Scottish tune. If there were people from County Cork or whatever, he would sing my Banks of the Lee or whatever. He had a great
incredibly talented people can have a different type of attitude, can't they? They can be very much, no, I know what's best, this is what you want to hear. But he was had the and I think it comes down to confidence.
I don't think
he had the confidence.
Yeah, he had great confidence.
Yeah, he could expand into different things. Like, he was the first person that that would go around all the primary schools. Himself, he would go on his own and teach music to the first years and second years. That was unheard of back 20 or so years ago. He was the first to do that. And around the schools, got a deal going with all the primary schools in the country, and now he's handed that over to his own students. And now music is being introduced in primary schools, simply down to, I believe, Denny McLellan.
Yeah. Denny was involved in every aspect of music. He would get the audience involved. That's what we used to notice then when we were playing in Flaherty's.
Mm-hmm.
That if there was a crowd of, sometimes you'd get a crowd of people coming in from a bus tour, and they'd be staying in the Gateway Hotel, and Denny would get them all involved, either lilting a piece of a tune, yeah, or singing a song, or getting one of them up to sing. But it would make it more interesting, because a lot of sessions you would just have people playing and saying nothing.
Except shush.
He would encourage people to get up and sing or dance or do whatever.
Did that, I'm not saying he wasn't a purist in his own way, but did that pay off the purists at all, that it sort of made it more interactive rather than sit in your hands and listen?
Yeah, I think he might have, like, he was different. He was breaking the mould, there's no question about that. He broke the trad way of doing things, of just repeating a tune over and over. He would play it one way and then change it the next time around and introduce variations. I think he just expanded it and made it more interesting to us.
He also was one of the first winners of Grupa Kjol at the FLA, which was an arrangement of a piece by young musicians. I think you were involved in one of the first Grupa Kjols, and that wasn't just playing a straight tune, which a lot of people do in sessions, just play the tune straight through three times or whatever. Then he arranged the piece of music with harmonies, with lilting going on, or maybe even with a song in the middle of it. And to me, as Mairead said earlier, really was an innovator and brought things way before his time. It's just a legacy we'll just live on.
Yeah, because there's one in the secondary school in Skullwar in Buncrana. There was a Sister Enda there, and Slogu was a big thing years ago. It was a Gaelan sponsored event. It was all done through Irish and Gaeliga, which is why we had a great attachment to Mairead and Gaedhe around that, and then he would bring us down there regularly. And Jimmy McBride, another wonderful singer and a primary school teacher. But then he would meet Sister Enda, and she would be putting on drama. And I remember one of the events was in Drumcondra, one of the All-Irelands was in Drumcondra. And I was running about Drumcondra trying to get to the whistle competition in a skirt and a dress from one of the Oisin plays that I was jumping on the stage with in one hall and then nipping across to play the whistle. It must have been the joke of the place, but it didn't matter. I won it anyway, you know. So, but the crack was great. You know, the crack was wonderful.
Lads, he's a great. Great memories, and I suspect that Michael Gallagher is a bit of a memories man. I'd say there's nothing you've forgotten, Michael, just the way it comes to you like that, right? But also storytelling, it is learned, and it has to be intertwined with the music and everything, that you can just call up memories and names with such ease. Michael Carey, you can paint a picture with your words. I feel like I'm standing there myself. It's really quite remarkable, and it has to be associated with the great musical talent you have as well, and how it makes the brain work. Lots of different people want to hear different stuff, but because you're here, I want to leave it up to you. So what should we play out with?
Yeah.
As I say, it's completely up to you guys.
He loved Slow Airs.
He did, yeah. And this is a tune that he didn't compose, this one, but he played it. Every time we went out to play, this would be one of his favourite tunes. And it's an O'Carolan tune. O'Carolan was a big influence on Denny as well, and on his compositions. And this is a tune called Blind Mary.
Which is one of... it's a song that we've had three or four people asking you to play. So isn't that a wonderful...
That's great.
By coincidence. It was the most popularly requested one from you gentlemen.
Well,
so
brilliant.
That's quite fitting. Whenever you're ready.
Okay.
What an amazing piece of music played by you three gentlemen there. Thank you so very much indeed. I really do appreciate your time, Michael Gallina. It's been fantastic. It really has. And I'm reliably informed that Denny would have been loving this morning. Tom Byrne, thank you so very much indeed. It's been wonderful having you in.
It's great to be here to remember Denny.
Yeah, and many times will be remembered into the future, no doubt. And last but not least, of course, Michael Carey on Whistle. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you, Ian Taylor, for this opportunity.
No, it's so very important to recognise someone's contribution. And just to let you know out there that Dinny is predeceased by his parents, James and Mary, his brother Pat, sisters Katie and Mary. Dinny will be sadly missed and never forgotten by his loving sisters Annie and Bridget, his nephews and nieces, grandnephews, nieces, cousins, neighbours and his family from his musical circle. His remains are reposing in his late residence funeral. His late residence, by the way, is Shandrum, Drumfries, Clonmany. His remains will be reposing there, funeral from there, on Friday the 20th of December, leaving at 10 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Coghill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. And if you wish to watch the funeral of Denny, it can be viewed at churchservices.tv/Coghill. Okay. Again, thanks to the gentleman for coming up and help us pay tribute to and remember Denny McLaughlin. Absolutely lovely, lovely gentleman, and brilliant to be in their company, but also have such wonderful, fond memories of someone who clearly has had a massive positive contribution to their lives. And it was lovely to get to learn and know, to learn a bit more and get to know Denny a little bit. But ultimately, of course, our sympathies are with Denny's family and his neighbours and the musical community and the wider community. The weather, patchy rain and drizzle this evening in fresh to strong southerly winds. Further outbreaks of rain tonight, but a clearance to scattered showers will follow from the west by dawn. Temperatures 7 to 10 degrees. Coming up after 10 o'clock, we're going to be crossing over to Buncrana Nursing Home. We've got Sinead there, we've got Alec there, and the team to chat to some of the residents, those running the place, and also to get some music. Really looking forward to that. Will the tribute today be repeated on Highland Radio? Beautiful, fitting tribute. Well, I'm going to cut it and post it as a separate podcast, so you'll be able to listen to it in its entirety, audio on our website, and I'll also cut the video a little later on. And you're sharing your memories, and they are wonderful memories. Thank you for that. Keep them coming, actually, by the way. But I'm going to take a break now to bring you the news and obituary notices. But stay with us. Coming up, we'll be going to Buncrana. We also have Danny O'Carroll on the show. We have Mickey Jo Hart on the show. They are going to be dancing with the stars. We're going to have a bit of fun. So stay tuned for that. All coming up over the next 2 hours on your 9 till noon show.